Hello, everybody. Thank you for joining us for the story of the day. Today we have another story about the sixth Lubavitcher Rebbe and his imprisonment in Russia in 1927. As we mentioned on another occasion, of course, Lubavitcher Rebbe was not in prison because of having done anything wrong. He was not speeding on the highway or chas v'shalom robbing a store, anything like that. He was keeping Torah and doing mitzvahs, learning Torah and doing mitzvahs. But in those days, in 1927, the government of Russia, the Soviet Union as it was called, was a very, very mean government. In fact, it's interesting that it was called Russia, and we know that the word Russia means evil one. In Hebrew. And of course, everything's by divine providence, by Shkacha brought this. And sure enough, a country which was so evil took for itself the name which in Hebrew means evil, Russia. Today's Russia is much improved. So if Russia is their official name or not, so one of their names, but it's become a much, much kinder place. Where Baruch Hashem, there are many, many shuls, many, many yeshivas, many, many Jewish camps for children and mikvahs, and all sorts of wonderful Jewish life and Jewish centers there. That's really thanks to the work of the Lubavitcher Rebbe, who was imprisoned by the Soviet Union in 1927, and not only imprisoned, actually placed on death row. Fortunately, they wanted to kill him, and miraculously, he was released on the 13th of the month of Tammuz. We're a few days past the month of past the 13th of Tammuz. I'd like to tell another story about that imprisonment. After some days on death row, where the plan was, unfortunately, to kill Lubavitcher Rebbe, Joseph Yitzchak Schneerson in 1927, they changed their mind and they decided that they would send him away to the city of Kostroma, the town of Kostroma, which is a very, very far place, very, very miserable place to have to spend time. And they said to the Rebbe, "We will send you on the train away from this prison where we were planning to kill you to this other place where you will have to be in exile, far away, removed from other people. But only if you will travel on Shabbos. Only if you will go on the train on Shabbos." Now, according to the Shulchan Aruch, the Code of Jewish Law, the Rebbe should have said yes. Because his life was in danger. Even though they said that they were not going to kill him, they could easily change their mind and decide to kill him. And therefore, to save one's life, the Torah tells us to break Shabbos. We have to save our lives. Yes, we should break Shabbos. If someone has a medical emergency on Shabbos, yes, they get in the car, they go to the hospital. Because the Torah tells us to break one Shabbos in order to live and keep many, many other Shabbos. That's what the halacha is. That's what the Torah tells us. And since the Rebbe was still in danger, certainly, according to the Code of Jewish Law, seemingly, he should have accepted and gone on the train on Shabbos in order to seemingly save his life. But he didn't. He said, "No, I refuse to go on the train, no matter what." And he knew that he was putting his life in further danger by doing this. Perhaps they would get angry and so forth. Maybe they would even kill him on the spot. So why did he do it? Why did he say, "No, I will not go on the train of Shabbos, no matter what"? The reason is because when the Torah tells us to break Shabbos in order to save our life, there is actually an exception to that rule. And that is that if the person who's telling us to break Shabbos in order to save our life really is trying to destroy Judaism by that, destroy Torah and mitzvahs, destroy Yiddishkeit, to discourage people from keeping Torah and mitzvahs, then we even give up our life in order not to allow something to happen that could endanger the Judaism of the entire Jewish people. And the Rebbe knew that if the news would get out that he broke Shabbos, that this would discourage many, many, many other Jewish people from keeping Shabbos and keeping the mitzvahs, because it was very hard in those days in Russia. It was very dangerous to keep Torah and mitzvahs. And if they heard that even the previous Rebbe broke Shabbos to save his life, and many, many, many people who were keeping Torah and mitzvahs under danger would have just said, it's not worth it. If he could break Shabbos, so could I. And this would have weakened and perhaps led to the destruction of Judaism across the entire Russia, and perhaps affected large parts of the world as well. We have a similar story with Rabbi Eliezer, I believe it was, in the story of in the time of Hanukkah, where the Greeks forced Rabbi Eliezer to eat the kosher food publicly. Usually, we don't give up life for the mitzvah of eating kosher food, not eating not kosher food. But Eliezer knew that many, many other Jews were watching and waiting to see what he would do. And if he would have eaten not kosher food to save his life, then he knew that many other Jews would be discouraged trying to keep Torah mitzvahs. Therefore, he said, no, I refuse. Eat not kosher food, even though they've killed him as a result. And so this story teaches us that it's important to keep Torah mitzvahs. Of course, we don't have to give up our life in a situation where Shulchan Aruch doesn't require it. But in our situation here in America, where most people are probably listening to this, or other countries where we're not being forced to not keep our Torah mitzvahs, we're free to keep our Torah mitzvahs. The only one that's really making a problem for us is usually our own Yetzer Hara, our own evil inclination. Therefore, whenever the evil inclination tries to discourage us from Torah mitzvahs, we should scream back and say, no, no, we will not be discouraged. We will keep the Torah and mitzvahs, we learn Torah, we'll daven, we'll do the mitzvahs, no matter what. This will quicken the time of the arrival of Mashiach, the building of the Beis Hamikdash, which we are all looking forward to very much during this time. Thank you for joining us.